Join me as we pray. Precious Father in heaven, we acknowledge you again as our Savior and our Lord. We've come here to worship you in all the different ways that we can do that. And as we've listened to this beautiful music, we're reminded that indeed it was a song, music that was written many, many years ago. And yet it still touches our lives today. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are present to uplift Jesus and hope and help and strength. And I pray, Father, that you would speak through me, and above all, that you would speak through your word today. We ask this and we believe it because we've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you noticed God's standards are humanly impossible to keep? Humanly impossible. I'll share a few of them with you. I mean, I would think maybe you might agree with me here. Take a look at this one here. In John, the 13th chapter, we're told there that we're to love one another as Christ has loved us. Now, I don't know about you, but it's pretty easy to love the lovely and the lovable, don't you think? But to love the unlovable, to love those who are unkind and say things against us, that's altogether another thing. And then we come to the book of Ephesians in the 4th chapter, and it says there that we're forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many here have had difficulty forgiving someone in your life? And then we come to the passage that we've been looking at the last several weeks together, the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. And as you're turning there to Ephesians chapter 5, let me share with you some of God's humanly impossible commands. Take a look at this. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, it says that we are to sing spiritual songs, psalms and hymns and songs from our hearts. Now think about that. Not just mouthing the words, going through the motions, but we are to sing from our hearts. And then verse 20, it says, we're to give thanks to the Lord. But it doesn't stop there. It says, we're to give thanks always for all things. Wow, God's humanly impossible commands. Oh, but it doesn't stop there. Verse 24, ladies, you need to remember this one. It says, wives are to submit to their husbands. And would you believe it? It actually says this, in everything, in everything. Oh, but men, the Word of God has a word for you too and for me, and it says that we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And then we come to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, in verses 1 and 2. Children are called to obey their parents, not just to obey, but to honor them, and to honor their parents means it comes from their hearts. And fathers are called to raise up their children in the Lord. Friends, these are just a few of God's humanly impossible commands. And God's standards are so high, it is humanly speaking impossible for you and me as Christians to be able to keep them. And if you're willing to be honest with yourself, you would agree with that. That's why we need the Spirit of God. Not only dwelling there, but to take control there. And that's why, you see, that's precisely why the Christian believer who already has the Spirit, must be filled with the Spirit. And so I ask that question one more time for the last Sabbath during this series. Does the Spirit have you? You see, being filled with the Spirit can make the nitty-gritty things of life possible. Wives submitting, husbands loving, children obeying, fathers caring, and yes, yes, even living our life at work, on the job, at school, at church, day in and day out. And really, isn't that where the rubber meets the road when it comes to everyday life? I want to share with you, I want us to look as we go to the Word of God. Are you there in Ephesians, the 5th chapter? I want us to see that God has some occupation principles in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And if you are a Christian and you want more than the fact that you are a Christian, more than the fact that the Spirit of God dwells within you, but you want the Holy Spirit to take more control of your life so that you can be reflectors of His amazing grace, reflectors of His character, even in your job, at work, wherever it may be, at school, whatever grade you may be in. You see, being filled with the Spirit not only affects the songs, how we sing a song, it not only affects and influences how we pray, it not only affects how we treat our loved ones, but it reaches to where we are at in our everyday life, at work and at school. And we read it right here in the Word of God. Now, there is a misconception that I believe it's important that I need to talk about and share with you before we get into the Word today. And it goes like this. My work distracts me from doing God's work. Now think about that for a moment. There's this feeling among many Christians, my work, my going to school, that distracts me from my doing God's work. And somehow we've gotten the idea that witnessing, sharing our faith, living for the Lord Jesus Christ, well, that's something you do after work. That's something you do on Sabbath afternoon. You knock on doors, you give Bible studies, and you visit the poor, you feed the sick, and all these things. And these are ministries in service for God. Indeed, they are. And they're wonderful ministries. But somehow we have gotten the idea that our job, our occupation, distracts us from full-time service for the Lord. And we think that God cannot speak in us and through us while we're at work, while we're at school. Friends, that is a great misnomer. That is a myth. That is a fallacy. It is not true. It is not true. One of the greatest events in the salvation history is when Jesus Christ was born on this earth. And on that night that Jesus was born, the angels of the Lord came to who? To the lowly shepherds. And what were the shepherds doing? They were working. They were on the job, working men. He didn't go to the nearest monastery. He didn't go to the nearest seminary, but he went to the man working on the job. And take Jesus, for example. When Jesus went out and he called his disciples to follow him, he didn't go to the local seminary and say, I need some people to work for me. But he went to Peter, James, and John while they were at work, fishing, casting their nets. And he says, come, follow me. Follow me. Or look at the prophet, the Old Testament prophet Elijah. Sometimes we think, oh, if I could just be a full-time preacher, if I could just be a full-time missionary, if I could be a prophet like Elijah, wow. But what was Elijah doing when God spoke to him, when God called him? He was working in the field, plowing the field, a working man. And I find it interesting as I visit with people, as I talk with people, and they get to know me, and they know that I'm a pastor, and they said, oh, Pastor Ken, they know I'm, as it were, a paid minister. They say, oh, Pastor Ken, I could just do what you do and study the Word of God and pray and counsel, spiritual counseling with people and stand up on Sabbath morning and preach and share the Word of God. What a glorious thing. And friends, it is a glorious thing. But being a paid minister in the service of the Lord is not for everyone. It's not for everyone. God has called you to serve God in other ministries. In other ministries. And it's not, I want you to know, I'm not the only minister here today. In fact, I'm looking out in the eyes of other ministers. Listen to this. Full-time ministry for the Lord is being a landscaper. It's being a plumber, a cabinet maker, a printer, a mechanic, a babysitter, a typist, a teacher, a bookkeeper, a secretary, a mother at home, a patient in the care center in their wheelchair. And never forget this, friends, that God can speak through you. God can use you just as much when you are a dentist pulling out someone's teeth, when you are an electrician and you're changing a loose wire, when you're a carpenter and you're pounding in a nail, when you're a secretary and you're on the phone. He can use you as just as much as he's using me, I pray, as I stand here and I share the word of God with you today. Full-time service for the Lord is where you're at right now. Right now. That is your mission field. That is your witnessing opportunity where you and I are right now. And God desires to fill us with his Spirit so that we can have a saving impact, a saving influence on the lives of people that we come in contact with. So in other words, you see, he's not necessarily calling you and me to leave our job, but he's calling us to full-time service on the job where we are right now. And yes, even your job, with all of those non-believers all around you, and that boss of yours, even your boss, yes, even your boss. I want to share with you some principles from the Word of God. Do you have your Bibles open now to Ephesians, the 5th and 6th chapter? Principles about the way we work in our service for the Lord, and whether they be at our job or at school, and these principles can be applicable even here at church. You'll see, as we go to the Word of God now, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and we begin with verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. We'll stop there for a moment. The Apostle Paul is talking to servants, and he's telling them that they need to be obedient to their masters. And I think we need to put that in today's language where we are today. And I would like to suggest it would go something like this. This is the Williams paraphrase, and it goes like this. Employees, obey your bosses. That's what it's saying here in essence. Employees, obey your bosses. Have you noticed that we're living in a society today where there is a tendency of being critical of those who are over us? Have you noticed that today? Doesn't matter who you are, if you're in leadership, you're going to be criticized. And you see that even in leadership in the church today. There's criticism towards those who are in leadership. I'll never forget when I was a young man many, many years ago. I'm 57 years old now. And I remember when I was a young man, associate pastor in this particular church in California. And I came out of seminary and I knew everything. That's right, I knew everything. I knew all about what it meant to be a minister. I knew how to have a successful church. I knew how to be a successful minister. I really did. I thought I did. Until I became a senior pastor of a church of my own. And all of a sudden, all those pressures I experienced, I had never had them before. All of a sudden, I experienced complications that I didn't know anything about. And I thought I knew the answers, but I didn't know the answers. And today, I look back at that pastor I worked with, and he wasn't perfect, and neither is this pastor that stands before you perfect. But I know this. I know that if I wouldn't have had such a big head, if I didn't have the idea that I knew it all, and that he was all wrong and I was all right, I would have learned so much more from him. It's very easy to be critical and cynical of those who are over us and to say, my boss, they just don't know what they're talking about. You don't know my boss. They're different from your boss, but they don't know what they're talking about. Have you ever heard that? Have you heard that maybe in the church? That pastor, that head elder, that head deacon, that head deaconess, that superintendent, who do they think they are anyway? I know better than they. And we think they don't know anything, that we know the answer here. But wait a minute. Wait just a minute. You put yourself in their shoes. You put yourself in their position, and you will be surprised. All of those theories, all of those preconceived ideas and opinions will change. How do we obey? How do we obey our bosses? The Word of God tells us right here. Do you see it here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, the very next part? With fear and trembling. Now, I can see some of you thinking, but is that what you mean? Is that how we obey? Believe it or not, that's an old English, and what it really means is with respect. With respect. We obey our bosses respectfully. But Pastor Ken, you just don't know my boss. How can I obey them? How can I respect them after the way they act and the way they believe and act towards me? and concerning your pastor or maybe some church leader in the church. How can I respect them? They're stubborn. They're dictatorial. They're hard, closed-minded. How can I obey my boss with respect? How can I carry out my obedience to them when my boss is the way he or she is? Listen carefully. You respect them and obey them, but not the person, but the position. I want to repeat that again. You respect and obey not the person, but the position. And if we miss that, if we miss that understanding, we are always going to be working with finite human beings. We are. And we are going to be in misery. And we're going to be walking around having a critical attitude about us until we finally realize that what God is calling us to respect is not so much the person, but the position. The position. And a good illustration of that is David and Saul. You remember this story? David was under real problems with his boss, Saul. And Saul was a man who blew it. He had great things going for him, but he really was rebelling against God. And his heart was not with God. And so here, catch the picture. Here's Saul. And Saul was really letting out his steam, out his anger, out his frustration towards some of his employees. And David happened to be one of them. In fact, Saul tried to kill David. Now, you think you're having a tough time with your boss. Now, I want you to catch the scene. David knew that God had appointed him, yes, David, to be the next one, the next king on the throne. And yet here's Saul trying to kill him. And David and his men, they run for their life out into the wilderness. And in two separate occasions, as you read 1 Samuel, and two separate occasions, David could have killed Saul. You remember the story. And I was stunned as I read it here. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 23. I'm going to quote it for you. He said this, "I will not harm the Lord's anointed." I will not harm the Lord's anointed. Saul? Anointed? That evil man? And David respected that position. And when God wants to replace Saul, he'll go. And sure enough, he replaced him. And Saul went down fighting. But according to God's timing. Now, most of us here today, we have a job. Or we serve in a ministry in our church family. And possibly you have a boss. You have a fellow employee or a leader in the church. And they're testing your patience. Anybody can relate to what I'm trying to say? Be sure that you're careful not to touch the Lord's anointed. Because you see, that boss of yours is either directly or indirectly in the will of God by being your boss. Or by being the leader in that particular church office. And God will replace whomever he wants to, however he wants to, and whenever he wants to. And that is God's job. That is not our job. And nowhere do I hear God in any way giving the idea, "Oh, I wish that guy wasn't the president. My hands are tied." "Oh, I wish that person was not the English teacher of that certain school. I just don't know what to do. Oh, I wish that person was not in that church office. I'm helpless." You see, God's purposes are not frustrated. And when God wants to move that person out of that position, he'll do it. But until he does, show respect to the Lord's anointed. Be like David, a man after God's own heart, and serve your boss by being obedient and respectful just because they are in that position. Now, not only obedient, not only respectful, but as you see it right here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, it says this, "In singleness of your heart as unto Christ." And then you go on in verse 6 and it says this, "Not with eye service as man pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the what? From the heart." God's humanly impossible commands. Serve him obediently, yes. Serve him respectfully, yes. Serve him wholeheartedly, Lord. For my heart, you're calling me? How is that possible? That is a mission impossible, humanly speaking. Now, we know how to serve our boss half-heartedly. When he's there and he's with you, you really get to work. You just work there and you, hi, boss, how's it going? Everything's great. Doing your jobs, sweeping the floor, mowing the lawn, trimming the bushes, or teaching, or whatever you do. But when the boss goes around the corner, when he walks through the door, whew, we can rest and relax and let's talk about the boss. Let's put the boss down. The Bible is telling us here that a spirit-filled worker works from his heart for all of God's glory, even when the boss is not there. Now let me ask you, every one of you here are employed or you hold a church office possibly in the church. Do your work habits differ when your boss is watching? It says here in verse 7, it says this. Notice that expression there in verse 7. As unto the Lord. Do you see that there? That just stood out to me. Boy, did that say something to me. I need to speak about this here. God is impressed to my heart to say, Lord, please help me to get this message across. You see, as unto the Lord, not to please the eyes of our boss, but in singleness of heart, as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Now, I want you to catch the feeling here. Notice the emphasis. Remember, we go all out. We do our very best, respectfully, wholeheartedly. We work for our boss, as unto the Lord. Do your very best. But because ultimately, listen carefully, ultimately, we are not really serving our boss at all. We're really serving the Lord. Whew. That's a powerful thought from the Word of God. And friend, when that begins to sink down into our hearts and my heart, our entire work patterns are going to change. We're serving the Lord no matter what job we're asked to do. No matter what job we're asked to do. And I came across this story and I said, oh Lord, help me to share this story. This is powerful. Here was a man looking for work. Anybody here looking for work? Anybody know what it's like to look for work? It's pretty tough, isn't it? It's hard to find a job. And he spent some time looking for this particular job that he would like, a particular line of work that he did well in, and a certain pay scale. He had plans. You see, he wanted really to be able to provide for his family. He wanted to do what God had equipped him to do. And he also wanted to keep God's seventh-day Sabbath. He wanted to honor the Lord. But he couldn't find any work. Can you relate? He couldn't find any work. And finally, he realized that, Lord, I'm going to take the next step. I want to still serve you. I still will find a job that I'll be able to get the Sabbath off to put you first, Lord. But I'm going to look for anything that's out there. I've got to provide for my family, anything that's out there. And he found a job. He found a job. The title? Environment Control. And that's a fancy word for custodial service. And he was in the lower man in the telephone pole. What his job was, that he was to go from one bathroom to the next to clean the toilets. And if that was not rough enough and hard enough for him, he began to really not like his job, because you see, part of the reason he didn't like it is he had to get up at two. He had to be there at work at 2 o'clock in the morning. 2 o'clock in the morning, cleaning the bathrooms, cleaning toilets. And for several days, he found himself backsliding in the bathroom. He was resenting the whole thing. And he talked to his loved ones. He shared his frustration. He talked to some of his friends. He shared his frustration. And thank God for friends who love the Lord Jesus and can relate to where we're at. And this particular friend was aware of the passage that we're looking at right now. And you know what the friend said to this man? He said, John, look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 7. You're not serving men. You're serving the Lord. You're serving the Lord. By cleaning toilets? You bet. You bet. And as he began to think about it, the Holy Spirit began to work in his life. That this passage began to change his life while he was working on this particular job. And he cooperated with the Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, I need your help. to be able to do this work. I need to provide for my family. And I hate my job, but please help me to do it as unto the Lord. And he would begin to pray for the people who use the facilities. He began to actually sing in the bathroom. And you ever try to sing in the bathroom? There's an echo. Sounds pretty good. He decided to do it as unto the Lord, and it changed his whole outlook of his job. And the Lord blessed him. You have a job, possibly some of you, that you can't stand. Possibly some of you are in a church office and you're not necessarily enjoying working with maybe the boss, the leader. Worship the Lord. Do it like as if you were actually doing it for Jesus. And whatever that might mean for you, watch how your attitude towards that job will change. Watch how your attitude towards your boss will change. You see, the Lord has put you there because he wants a witness. He's put you there in that school. He's put you there in that job because he wants a witness for Jesus Christ. He wants for you, and he wants for me, to shine for Jesus where we're at. And as I was doing my study for this, I came across a statement from Martin Luther King Jr., a great preacher for the Lord, a wonderful black man. Quotes, "If a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the host of heaven and earth will pause to say, 'Here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well.'" Unquotes. Powerful words. God wants anointed plumbers. That's right. God wants anointed carpenters and anointed salesmen and anointed doctors and dentists and secretaries and loggers and you name it. He wants people who will, of all walks of life, to be his witnesses. And that's why he's placed you there in that particular school. That's why he has placed you there in that particular job. He wants you to be his witness. You know what? One of the second main reasons why God fills us with his Spirit, why God anoints us with his Spirit, why God empowers us with his Spirit, why God gives us the unction to function. And that is, number one, character development, so that we can be like Jesus. Number two, to be his witness. And I'm reminded of those familiar words. You remember them too. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Remember the words? "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and then you shall be" what? "My witnesses." Witnesses about Jesus. My witnesses. And so it happened in the early New Testament church. It really happened that way. The picture of the early New Testament church is that believers are not leaving their jobs and becoming paid ministers and missionaries. Oh, no, no. But it was Christian people on the job allowing the Holy Spirit to do what he enjoys doing most, reflecting Jesus, shining forth Jesus in their actions and their work, whatever particular occupation they may have. And you know what happened yet? You know what happened next? Bosses and employees were converted to Jesus Christ. And the unconverted were drawn to the beauty of the character of that person. And they asked, "What is it about you? Why are you different from the others? The others just a bunch of cuss words and moodiness. And what is it about you? I need to know." And they talk about Jesus. They tell about their friend. And they share the good news. They invite them to their small group of fellowship. That's what they did in the early New Testament church. And they become Christians. And Christianity spread like wildfire. Because laity, like you and me, cooperating with the Holy Spirit on the job, and bosses and employees were one to Jesus. God's word for you today: he has called us to that particular occupation, and he's given us a humanly impossible mission to be obedient, to be respectful, and to do it wholeheartedly. And friends, that is an impossible mission in and of itself. Why has he given you this mission? Because he wants you and me to reflect Jesus in that very job. Whether it be at school, at work, he wants us to reflect Jesus Christ. And the way we handle that hammer, the way that we handle that saw or that pin or that broom or whatever it is, the instrument or things that we use, God can use us, and it is just as much a ministry and a blessing as singing a hymn or saying a prayer. But such a calling by God is possible only as we have more than just the Spirit of God dwelling in us. It is possible only as we allow the Spirit who is there to be in control there. Yes, even on the job, and especially on the job. Be being continually filled with the Spirit. This is God's answer to make a mission that looks impossible to be a mission possible. So let me say it one more time. Pastor Ken's broken record, but I believe with all my heart, it's changed my ministry, it's changed my life. I believe it's the greatest need of this church family. I believe it's the greatest need of Christianity today. Being a Christian and having the Spirit is one thing, but allowing him to have us is what he really wants. Does the Spirit have you? Does the Spirit have you? Does he have you on the job? Let us pray. Oh, precious Father in heaven, thank you for reminding us that without you, we can do nothing. You have called us to be your witness, even on the job, even at school, even in our church. Father, forgive us if rather than your character has been reflected, that self has shown its ugly face. Forgive us for that, Lord. And Lord, we sure can't do it without you. And we all know so many times how many times we've tried to do it without you and how helpless and how hopeless that is. Slow us down, Lord. If that's what it's going to take, slow us down to behold your face. Fill us with your word that your Spirit can use us to be your witnesses on the job. And Father, remind your church here at Sutherland today that there is not just one minister here today. And so as ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we dedicate our lives to know you, Jesus, so that your Spirit can have us. We pray this in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.